We're continuing our series here, Overcoming the Undertow. We're in week number 4, and everybody's excited. Amen. We're on prayer number 2 today. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to begin by reading Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. If you open up your Bibles or go on your phone, welcome those that are online with us. We're online this week. We've been out the last 3 weeks, so we welcome you back to encourage you. We ask that you just turn with us in the Word, Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3 of that chapter says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." How many are blessed? Amen. "Blessed us in the heavenly realms." How many are seated with Christ today? Amen. "In the heavenly realms with every." How do you like that word? That's a big word, isn't it? "Every spiritual blessing in the Lord," in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We can look at that two ways here today. We can look at what we've already received and recognize that they are spiritual blessings that have been poured on us because of Jesus. Or we can look at it today as a smorgasbord of untapped blessings that God has in store for us. Hallelujah. How many have ever been to a smorgasbord? Yeah. How many know your plate's not big enough for the smorgasbord? Amen. Sometimes I don't know about you, but I'm very predictable when I go to a restaurant and what I'm going to order. Karen can probably order it for me before I even walk into a certain restaurant. And some of you like to try different things. And so even in the food that we receive from the Word of God, sometimes we kind of stick to the same food over and over and over again. But how many know there's a lot of different foods, there are a lot of different blessings that we haven't even begun to tap into that God has for us. When you read verses 3 through 14, we talked about that the first week, we see that God has a list of blessings that are there. But what's fascinating about that is verses 3 through 14 is one sentence. I write, and Karen says that's a run-on sentence. You can cut it here, cut it here, cut it there, cut it everywhere. So Paul, he wrote from verse 3 to verse 14, and it's one long sentence. So if it's one long sentence, guess what? It has one thought. Right? And so we want to concentrate on that thought here today. That the blessings that we receive are from being in Christ. Do you understand that? By being in a relationship with Christ, because we are related to Him, guess what? We are able to possess these things. The Bible says if He has given us Jesus Christ, He is going to give us what? All things, all these spiritual blessings. We're talking about the church of Ephesus. They had a choice here. Paul was laying it out, and he said you could either possess it or lose it. How many know we can lose it? How many of you know we can lose the blessings of God in our life? One of the saddest scriptures I read every year, I look at this when I read through the Bible, and it's a terrible scripture. It's about Samson. You know the story of Samson and his good friend Delilah? Amen. You don't want to marry one of those. Amen. Samson was playing games with Delilah, and she was trying to figure out the strength, why he was strong, and he kept lying to her and playing a game with her, and finally she got the upper hand. And what's amazing was when Samson kind of woke up, the Philistines were upon him. But this scripture reads, but he didn't realize that the Lord had left him. Isn't that kind of sad? That is a sad verse to know that the Lord has left him. I want to tell you, church, it's not hard to get into that position. And we already read the scriptures leading up to this scripture here in Ephesians, why Paul was praying for them. Not to be caught in the undertow, to be drift from the presence of the Lord. It's because sometimes we can get comfortable. How many know that? And we can actually drift away from the Lord, not knowing that we are going that direction. The Ephesians got caught in the undertow and they drifted. If you want to read about another church that drifted, was the Corinthian church. Read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Even though the gifts of the Spirit were evident within the body, they were far from a good relationship with Jesus Christ. So we looked at the first three words found in Paul's first prayer that would help us keep our mind on Christ and reap the benefits of his blessings. Let me just refresh your mind going into this scripture. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, if that helps you out here. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, that's a good start. I have not stopped thanking God for you. But then he goes on and says, I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight or revelation so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. So Paul's first prayer was focused on them knowing God, having a growing, intimate relationship with God. So as we begin here today, how would you describe your relationship with Jesus Christ here this morning? Maybe here this morning it's non-existent. Maybe the only time that you encounter Jesus Christ is when you come to church on Sunday. Maybe you're a casual Christian. Garmo and Key had a song years ago, Casual Christian, right? And so we don't want to have a casual relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're an acquaintance. Maybe you're on a friendship basis with Jesus. Or hopefully here this morning, you're besties with Jesus. Amen? That you are passionate about your relationship with Jesus over every other relationship. We can only know God when the three activities are continuously happening, that we're receiving knowledge, we're grasping the facts, we're receiving revelation, insight in what God is trying to speak into our hearts, and wisdom is the application of that knowledge. We talked about that last week. 2 Corinthians 3:16 and verse 18 says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Hallelujah. Had a conversation with a young man this week that says, I just don't get it. I read my Bible, I just can't comprehend it, I can't grasp it. But you need Jesus Christ. It's when we turn to Jesus Christ, the veil is removed, knowledge comes, wisdom comes, revelation comes. Verse 18, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what we want. To see and reflect his glory. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Jesus. Hallelujah. As we are changed into his glorious image. So when's the last time somebody walked up to you and said, I see Jesus in you? Yeah. Knowledge leads to oneness with Jesus. And so we want to have the mind of Christ as we go through this here this morning. So we're going to go into Paul's second prayer here. If you read a different translation than the New Living Translation, you won't see the word Paul praying three times. You'll only see it twice. But I like this out of the New Living. And it says here in verse 18 of that first chapter, he said, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future or hope, some of the translations say, he has promised to those he called. I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance he has given to his people. The first part of that verse is connected to receiving wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. We read there, I pray that your heart will be flooded with light, with understanding, with knowledge, with wisdom. Knowing Jesus, hallelujah. Knowing who we are and what we have in Jesus Christ is important. His first prayer was what? That we may know him. And secondly, his prayer was that we may know Jesus Christ, and we also may, let me get my thoughts here, that we may understand who we are in Jesus Christ and what he has given us. So that's important. And Paul felt it was important because that's the prayer that he prayed over them. God doesn't want it just in our head. He wants it in our heart. How many understand that? How many are experiencing that here this morning? I shared this story with you, I think a couple years ago, that I was in a revival, and we were part of a church plant in Ohio, and I would sneak away because I wasn't always able to go to church. I went to one of those Rhema churches. Ooh, that's dangerous. That's dangerous going to one of those Rhema churches. But they had a revivalist there. They had a woman evangelist that was speaking. And of course, I was in that no man's land trying to figure out what I was doing with my life. I was in a position where I wasn't content. I was kind of, I believe, out of God's will at that moment in my time, because God had called me a pastor and I kind of went off on my own. And I was in that meeting, and as they gave the altar calls, I went up. And as she was praying, she was going over, praying over people, and twice this woman stopped in front of me and said that you think too much. She said, you need to put your intellect on the back burner and listen to the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit. And that was in two different nights and two different times that she had prayed over me. And I believe that many of us, as we grow in the Lord, we kind of switch off this being led by the Spirit part, and we begin to be led by our intellect. Because you think, you know, we kind of understand how it works now. But I want to tell you, we don't know how it works. And sometimes we don't even know how He works. See, John writes the story about Jesus encountering Thomas. You know Thomas? The resurrection has taken place, and Thomas was not present when Jesus showed up the first time. And so when He shows up the second time, because Thomas was saying, well, if I can't, what, put my finger in His hands and in His side, I'm not going to believe. And this is what Jesus had to say to him. Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen Me. And the truth is, that's where a lot of us stand, that we will believe once we see it. But Jesus said, blessed are those who haven't seen Me and yet believe anyway. Blessed, or let's just say blessed, are those who haven't seen Me and yet believe. That's the natural process, right? We want to believe after seeing. But we also see a scripture in Luke chapter 1 when we see Mary, who is what? Impregnated by the Holy Spirit. She goes and sees Elizabeth, and Elizabeth tells Mary this. She said, you are blessed because you believe. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what He said. You see, that's the way we're called to believe. That's a new supernatural process. It's taking a step of faith, and God meets us. It's not seeing us, God move, and then we believe. But it's believing God at His word. He illuminates our understanding, that's what we read, of who He is and what He has provided for us. So that's the first part. So we connect here today that we belong to Him, that we have this understanding of who He is, and then He's going to share with us the blessings that He has for us. The second part of that verse entails a future He has prepared for us. The scripture says, so that He can understand the wonderful future or hope He has promised to those He has called. As Christians, when we hear the word future, our minds turn to what scripture? Jeremiah, right? We like that verse. It's probably more popular than John 3:16 these days. Jeremiah 29:11, right? What's Jeremiah writing here? You need to understand that Israel, what, are captives. They have been taken into exile to Babylon. The people have suffered a great loss. They've lost everything. They've lost their homes. They've lost their land. A lot of them have lost their families. They are in exile. They have lost about everything. They are caught. They've been, people suffer, yeah. They were caught in an undertow because why? They had turned their back on God. Jeremiah was one of the prophets saying, repent, 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 turn, turn, turn. And they wouldn't. And so Jeremiah pens these words. He says this in Jeremiah 29:11, and this is the one we usually quote quite a bit. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, or to prosper you, and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Isn't that what Paul just prayed in Ephesians chapter 1? He prayed the same thing over the Ephesians church. But what we need to focus on is not just verse 11. It's a good verse. We stop there, but it even gets a little more awesome as you read on. And in verse 12, it goes on and says, in those days, when you pray. How many of you know that it's good to pray? Think about it. If we don't pray, we don't get anything. You have not because you ask not. He says, in those days when you decide to pray, I will listen. Isn't that good? And goes to verse 13. If, it's conditional, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. And he repeats himself. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. Hallelujah. He has a plan for you, church, but it's connected to your prayer life. It's connected to a relationship with him. I want to be blessed. I want every spiritual blessing that God has. But we got to pray. We got to be people of prayer. We got to seek after him. You see, they were in Babylonian captivity. And Jeremiah comes up with this prophecy saying, you know what? You're going to be there for 70 years. 70 years. How long did the Israelites travel in the wilderness? 40 years. So we're talking 70 years, 30 years more that they're going to be in Babylon. Think about it. God had to knock out another generation. They were in the desert for 40 years. What? So a new generation that would rise and not doubt, but believe God and trust God. 70 years. God was waiting to bring back a new generation. He told them, guess what? I give you this promise. He has plans for you. But his plan for you right now is to be in Babylon. And I want you to build houses. I want you to plant gardens. I want you to be a blessing to the Babylonian nation. It's in Jeremiah. Read it. That wasn't in their idea. They weren't thinking that way. But he said, I want to bless you where you are. Isn't that a good start for all of us here? That God wants to bless you where you're at this morning on your journey with him? I'm glad today that this is a promise for us here today. That this prayer that Paul prayed over the Ephesians is a prayer that we can pray over ourselves here this morning. So, the second part of that verse entails a future he has prepared for us. Yes, he said, hey, I want to bless you where you're at, but guess what? There's going to be a day coming, a future. How many know that not every blessing that God has provided will be experienced here on earth? How many know that there are probably going to be more blessings on the other side in heaven than there is on earth today? Some of it's for today, some of it's for then. The third part of this verse infers that we have received a rich and glorious inheritance. He said, I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance he has given his people. Ephesians 1:11, we read there earlier in that scripture, furthermore, because we are what? Again, united with Christ. We are in relationship with Christ. We have received an inheritance from God. We can't get away from a relationship with God to receive his blessings. If you don't get anything out of this message but that, that we need to be in relationship with him to receive our inheritance from him, the blessings from him. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Galatians 6:9 says something very similar. So let's not get tired of doing what is good, working on that relationship, walking with him. And at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of what? blessing if we don't give up. Folks, maybe some of the things we're not receiving is because we gave up. We gave up. Romans chapter 8, 28. This is another very familiar scripture. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good. For those who what? Love God. Are in a relationship with God and are called according to his purpose for them. Are we walking according to that purpose that he has designed for us? It has always been God's plan to bless those who seek after him. How many know that? Over and over again, when people sought the Lord, he blessed them. And when they stopped seeking him, what? Disaster came. It was taken away. There are two components to this word inheritance. It's a futuristic component, and there is a present component. And our inheritance isn't just limited to Ephesians chapter 1, that list there from verses 3 through 14. There's a lot more to it than that. How many know it's important to read the whole Bible? Because God has a whole lot in store for us, a whole lot of blessings that I don't even think we begin to tap into. Let's not get stuck in one place. So the word inherit or inheritance and the word heir. That's good, huh? Amen. Hallelujah. That was anointed. Okay. So the definition of inherit and inheritance is this. It means to receive money, property, or a title as an heir at the death of a previous owner. Okay? It's a blessing, okay? This is talking about stuff. Amen? But the definition of heir is a person legally entitled to the property or rank of another on that person's death. So what we see here is that when we inherit and become heirs, guess what? We receive stuff. We receive stuff. But we also receive a position. A position, a legal entitlement that comes from walking with Jesus Christ. So we have to be an heir to what? To receive an inheritance. And so it's all made possible through the person of Jesus Christ. To be a beneficiary of God's inheritance, we must be in relationship with him. I don't know how many of you have made a will out. Hopefully you've done it. Parents, if you haven't, it's your responsibility to make sure that your kids and everything is out lined out in case something happens. We have just gone through that process with Karen's dad. Karen was the administrator of the will, and he left everything to his three daughters, divided up among them. And so when we write our will, we usually limit who we give it to, right? We usually give it to family. I mean, that makes sense, right? We give it to our family. You might have a friend that you might give some stuff to, or an organization that you like or believe in, or a cause, right? So these are things that we put in our will to these heirs, to these individuals. When I was growing up, we had gone to a mainline denominational church, and we attended there. My mom participated. She was even a Sunday school teacher there. But the truth was, we were biblically illiterate. Many churches do not encourage people to read their Bibles. And so we were really didn't know a whole lot. We were ignorant of God's promises. We were ignorant of God's blessings. We were ignorant of inheritance that we were, would be and receive as believers in Jesus Christ. We were not partakers of God's blessings, of his inheritance for us, because we didn't know. And then the charismatic movement, anybody remember that? Comes along and reaches into the hearts of the main denominational churches, and what? A new message is given, that you must be born again. We never heard that message. We were like the Ephesians that said, when Paul said, have you received the Holy Spirit? It's like, We never even heard there was. If it wasn't for the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer, we wouldn't have known a whole lot. Come on now. We got born again and we became part of the family of God. And a new reality took place in our lives. The veil was removed. And we begin to see what God had provided for us through Jesus Christ. The truth is, my family wasn't caught in an undertow. We were still on the beach. We weren't even in the water. But the danger of the undertow affects those who are in the water. You and me here today. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are in the water. And the Ephesians were swimming in the blessings of God. We read it there as we opened up here today. They were blessed of God. They were warned about the undertow over and over again. And they were riding the current. And what they'd found was they were off course. And they were heading out to some deep water. And when we, as God's people, become lax as we get caught in the undertow, church, we're open to false teachings and false teachers. There is a cooling down of our affections toward God. And we become a little bit self-assured. The intellect takes over. And the love grows cold. Over and over in the Bible, we're told of this principle that what? We love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Right? But we're also told that we are receivers of God's blessings. Old Testament, New Testament. We like Psalm 103. Most of you could probably quote the beginning of it. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his. All his what? Benefits, okay? We quote that. And right after that, it begins to list some things. Healing and salvation, all those good things that we inherit. But we read on through that psalm, and we see in verse 13, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. So there's a little bit of a condition here. We don't usually get to the condition. We just want to read about the benefits. Verse 17, but the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. So there is a relational condition here. Yes, I want those benefits in Psalm 103. But the way I receive them is to be in relationship with Jesus. Another psalm, Psalm 24, is very similar. It says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. For he laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean depths. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in the holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessings and have a right relationship with God their Savior. Blessings, relationship, blessings. They're hand in hand, church. Such people may seek you and worship in your presence, O God of Jacob. How can we not worship God when we gather together? Amen. Because we love him and because, man, we recognize his hand of blessing on our life. So Paul had two prayers so far. He said, pursue spiritual wisdom and revelation so that you might grow in the knowledge of God. That is our priority, number one, is to seek after God. To seek the face of Jesus Christ. And secondly, to understand the wonderful future, the hope that he has promised to those who he has called, and realize what a rich and glorious inheritance he has given to his people. Do you know what belongs to you? It's called the Bible. It's called the Word of God. It's called His covenant. It's called His promises. They're ours. A lot of people only know what they've been told. A lot of people have never read it for themselves. We encourage you, get in the Word of God. There are things and promises that God has specifically for you. And generally for the whole church. We can experience a blessed future and inheritance as long as we are growing in our understanding of God. We need to continue on with Him. If you've been caught in the undertow, let me encourage you today, head for the beach. And get reoriented before getting back in the water. So today, I'm just asking you, where are you today? We started with the question, what kind of relationship do you have with Jesus Christ? Maybe it's red hot here this morning. Maybe today it's just kind of casual, off and on, hit and miss. But I want to encourage, the blessings of God are dependent upon our relationship with God. You can't split it and have one or the other. If you have a relationship, guess what? The blessings are all going to come automatically. But many are seeking the blessing without the relationship. We all want to know the secret to revival. We all want to see God move. But it starts with the knowledge of God. The more we know, the more we believe. The more we believe, the more we shall see. It's easy. It's easy. Maybe easier said than done. Right? Let's pray. Father, we look in this book of Ephesians and we see, Lord, that You desire us above all things. You desire to have a relationship with us. And that desire is far greater on Your side than our side. You went to the place of giving Your life, to giving Your Son, that we might have the privilege of entering into Your presence. And today, Lord, I'm just asking that we would examine our hearts here this morning and just kind of take a moment just to evaluate this morning. Where am I at? What kind of relationship am I having? Am I asking more than what I'm giving? Am I seeking the benefits of the kingdom without seeking You? I pray this morning, Father, that You would just speak to our hearts. Bring conviction. We all need convicted, Lord. The Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God. But the good thing is, Lord, we can always move towards You. You haven't changed. You're still there. You're still faithful. And today, Father, I just ask that as we move towards You, that You'll fulfill Your promise and move towards us. I pray, Lord, if our relationship is casual or just acquaintances, that we begin to move up to that place where we recognize You, Lord, as the most important thing in our lives. Secondly, I pray, Lord, that You will give us an understanding that as we draw close to You, You reveal that You have a tremendous amount of things that You want to pour out in our lives. That it's there for the taking, but we need to be in that position to take it. So many times we get our eyes on the things, on the stuff, and you're concerned more about our position You want us to be heirs, Lord. And so often, Lord, we realize that things sometimes takes our eyes off of you. Sometimes the blessings rob us of that relationship because we get enthralled with the things, the stuff. Lord, today we put the stuff on the altar, Lord. We nail it to the cross today and say, Jesus, we want you. We want you foremost here this morning. We want to know you. That song, we want to know you more than ever before. We want to know you more. We want to know you, Lord. Lord, we want to know you this morning. Because, Lord, we want to walk in the things that you've prepared for us. You have a plan. We read it. You have a plan. A plan to prosper us. A plan. That will make our life worth living. Hallelujah. So Lord, as we close out in prayer, Lord, we rededicate ourselves to you. Lord, there are things in our life that have become a hindrance. There are things, the writer of Hebrews said, what? To cast off the sins and those things that easily beset us. And today, Lord, we want to do that. We want to cast them off. And get our eyes on the prize once more. You are the prize. And so, Lord, we come to you. Open up our hearts and minds, Lord. But we also want to know that, Lord, we can tap into your promises, your blessings. They're ours. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ishalarama sundurarama sishandoloroba kondoloroba kashandalarama kum. Inanaraba kumbo shaka shandoloroba kashandalaraba kishotundoloroma ka. Inanaraba kundio shindiraraba ko shandalaraba kashatatarama kumbo roroba kam. Inanaraba ko shalarama ko shandalaraba si. Ondo shaka shandalaraba kalarama kondoro shototorama tia. Indadono pakanta shaka tamboto shandala ramako shothomo rabakam bararamakum bararamaki. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, have your way in us. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. We end with that today, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.